Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Moore's Mill.
That would be a little weird.
We just saw the Strange Brew guy today.
We did.
We just saw him.
I thought he was a real person. I thought he was a sign this entire time.
I thought he was like the big boy from Shoney's.
I had no idea that this was a real person.
We saw him.
Or, you know, any inkling what he looked
like. And his lovely wife.
Yes.
Great to see them.
Shane is salt of the earth, one of the best people in Starkville.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Without question. So great to see him out today. And you guys need to see.
Have you been to Moore's Mills?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes. I think that man has scoured the state of Mississippi for the finest of coffee beans.
He's always a traveling.
He's a traveler. That is true.
He's the Willy Wonka of coffee.
With 100% less kid death.
That's true.
No children have ever been harmed in the making.
No kid death.
Of Strange Brew Coffee.
That's correct.
Yes. So.
To my knowledge, no one has ever died of it.
Yes. One time someone was like, hey, could we get a Strange Brew in Oxford? He was like, you lose! Good day, sir!
You win nothing!
You get nothing! There you go. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com.
Willy Wonka of coffee.
Yeah, I think he would love to be the Willy Wonka of coffee.
He kind of is, if you think about it. He's kind of a mastermind for
yeah.
things he's like thought of.
Yeah.
I would have never thought that
a
I could
blueberry
make
cobbler.
Blueberry cobbler.
Yeah.
It's like
the blueberries taste like blueberries. The schnozberries taste like schnozberries. If we ever get a schnozberry scone over there, I'll be pretty impressed.
Well, you know.
Or schnozberry churn and spoon flavor.
Zach Selman calls me Farva.
Wait. Oh, did y'all have. He's a big. What was the name of that? Like,
Super Troop.
Yeah, Super Troop. But, like, what's the name of the comedy troupe?
Oh, the
Broken Lizard, is that what it is?
The guys that made
Beerfest and all that.
I don't know what it's called.
Okay. I told him he needs to watch Beerfest. He had not seen it. And I was
what
like
what else did they make?
They made the Slammin' Salmon.
I've never seen that.
It's okay. It's not as good as Beerfest. They made Beerfest, the one about the world on the island. I forget the name of that one. What is the name of that? Robbie.
You're on the island. Without a paddle?
No. No. Broken Lizard is the name of the group. So they have. Let's look at their stuff here. They did Puddle Cruiser, Super Trooper, Club Dread. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Beer Fest, Slammin' Salmon, and then Super Troopers 2. Then they did Tacoma FD.
Not very good.
No, you can't recapture the magic of
Tacoma
Super
FD. Didn't have like that. That had like a mixture of.
I think it's that and. Reno 911. Yeah.
I love Reno 911.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
There you go. So.
Good stuff.
All right.
It has absolutely nothing to do with coffee, but yeah, that's how the show goes sometimes.
But yeah, well we're telling our listeners that Zach Selman, big Super Troopers guy.
Yes.
We need to see if he can ever work, how many meows he can work into a speech one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could he do it? Hey, Zach, what's the name of that restaurant you like with the mozzarella sticks and all the goofy stuff on the wall? You mean Shenanigans? Yeah, that'd be great.
I love that one, too.
Oh, you mean Waiting? Yeah, different group. But I don't know. It's got to be in the same universe, though, right? Shenanigans? It's got to be.
I would think. Yeah.
So.
I think that was like an Easter egg.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, So. Ah, the goat! Ah! Anyway. What a lead-in for Pip Printing and Signs that is. If you work in a business, if you own a business, if you know someone who owns a business, Pip Printing and Signs, you need to get them in touch. And I'm just going to make it real easy for you. Go to PipRidgeland.com, the website. Take a look at everything that is being offered by Pip Printing and Signs that can enhance your business. Then you call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216, and you tell him, Cam, heard about you on Thunder and Lightning, went to your website. I'm intrigued. What can you do for me? How can you help my business? He's going to lay out a plan for you that's going to get the image of your business changed for the better. And even if you've got a great image, even if your business is one of the more popular ones, man, you can never be more popular enough. So check it out. Pip Printing and Signs. The website is pipridgeland.com. The phone number is 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. They've got the logos that you want. They've got the styles, the brands that you want. They've got clothes. They've got stuff for your car, for your house, for your tailgate. It's all right there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. This weekend, every weekend, is a great time to check out Restaurant Tyler's Sunday brunch. There's a reason there's always a line out the door when you go to Restaurant Tyler on a Sunday afternoon. It's because it has the best brunch in town. If you're a breakfast for brunch kind of person, they've got you. If you're a lunch for brunch kind of person, they've got you. Or if you want a little bit of everything, they have got you. It's the best in town, and that's not just me selling it to you. The line out the door kind of proves my point at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where they're located, but show you what they're going to do for you and your money. You got the money to the bank. You did the hard work. Let them show you how to invest, how to manage your money, and set your family up for years and years to come for financial success. 16 locations means there's one near you if you live in Central Mississippi. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Somebody moved Ron Polk here. Who did that? Ron Polk is right there. That way I can always just look at Ron Polk when I'm having some tough times. I can look right in the eye, and I can think of the words of wisdom of Ron Polk. That's baseball. Yes. I mean, literally any situation. Like, man, I don't know, man. It's just been a tough day, you know, but Ron's like, hey, that's baseball. Yeah. You know what, Ron? You're right. You're right. You're right. Every year we do this. Every year we do the all 22 rankings, and we think that this year Robbie understands the assignment a little bit better than he has in years past. For those of you who have never listened in before, have never listened to the show, aren't familiar with this, every year Robbie and I, or whoever was the host prior to Robbie, rank
Joel T. Coleman,
Bob Carscad, Robert,
we're not allowed to talk about the unmentionable athletic department employees anymore or something?
I'm just saying. I didn't want to give any free pub out.
Trying to start a war?
You want a war? You're going to get one.
Get a war.
Just picture me talking to Zach Selman and just being like, you know, he doesn't know you're there. Like, I got a big surprise.
Yeah. Who's Eric Bischoff?
Unfortunately, it's Brandon Langlois.
Langlois getting power bomb through a table.
Who's Hogan? Does Joel turn
who's
on
the third
them?
Man?
Logan turns on them. Logan gets out.
Logan's had enough of just the
Hollywood
the
Hulk. Hollywood Hulk Logan.
Yep.
Yes.
Instead of sticking it to the fans, he's sticking it to the administration.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, all this trash represents dear old state.
Yeah, we're going to get Logan in trouble now.
Yeah, Logan's not doing anything, guys.
Is that microphone on?
It's on.
If you heard the opening, it was a great opening. We always like to be transparent on this.
Yeah.
It was a great opening. We enjoyed it. We talked about Ron White. We talked about Super Troopers, everything. Yeah. Brian didn't even have my microphone on.
I didn't have his microphone on.
He's trying to silence me.
No. I'm just an idiot.
Trying to silence
me. I'm just an idiot.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get this thing
Speaking over. Of idiots... 2 years ago, you ruined the all 22 rankings, but
yours weren't any better. You got lost.
Mine, at least I knew what the concept was.
No, you got lost in the numbers.
I did.
I think
we got it.
There might be some disagreements.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah.
So for those of you who've never listened before, Robbie and I will create a starting lineup, 22 players, offense and defense, and then we will rank them 1 through 22 based on our confidence in them. Mm-hmm. So the guy who I have at number one is the guy I say, hey, he's going to have a great season. I don't have any doubt about it. The guy at 22, I have a lot of questions about. So that's where we're going to go. So, Robbie, why don't you start us off? Who do you have ranked 22nd? You're the player you are the least confident in.
Okay, and maybe this will make you upset that I'm altering the rules again, but that it's to me it's not so much as like the player I have the least amount of confidence in as some of these positions. I don't know if these guys are even the starters or not, and so it's kind of like I don't even know if they're going to start kind of thing. So my number 22 is Kevon Lee.
Okay,
because
that's interesting.
I don't know who the starting running back is going to be for Mississippi State. I think we all penciled in Devon Booth a little early because, quite frankly, I've heard more about Johnny Daniels, even Jeffrey Pittman. Kevon Lee's been pretty consistent since the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I think this is the only running back we've talked to this training camp, which kind of – I don't know if that's going to be 100% a clue, but – I'm leaning that direction is that they consider him, you know, the leader or one of the leaders of that running back room, and he's getting rewarded by coming to media. So I got him at 22, and it's not because I don't think that he's capable or he's going to be a good player. It's just that I just don't know who's going to start in that backfield.
Okay.
I don't want to list him number 5 in – Johnny Daniels is the starting running back.
Fascinating that, A, I don't have Kevon Lee on my 22, and, B, the guy I have at running back is much, much higher.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, interesting.
If it was Devon Booth, I'm
We'll get there.
My number 22, I'm blowing your cover.
I know. My number 22 is Kedrick Bingley-Jones.
Okay.
If he is the starting nose guard or defensive tackle or whatever it is, he has never stayed healthy a single year of his college career. And, you know, for a 4-star kid coming out of high school, he hasn't done anything. He is kind of what I am afraid Trevion Williams might become if he can't stay healthy this year. So, for me, Bingley-Jones, I have concerns about him if he is a starting guy. I think Calvin Dinkins should probably get the nod over him if he's healthy. But that's the thing with this defensive line. I keep having to say if he's healthy. So, Bingley-Jones, for me, is on the bottom. At 21, I have Hunter Washington. Pretty sure Hunter Washington's going to be a starting safety at this point.
Much are.
Well, maybe it's just me, and I know that defensively it's a terrible idea to match up a safety with a wide receiver, especially when that wide receiver is Malik Nabers, but I cannot get that image out of my head of him just getting toasted. Look, it's not his fault. No, cornerbacks, elite cornerbacks, had trouble staying with Malik Nabers. But, man, Hunter Washington, I mean, he's not particularly big. He's not particularly fast. I'm not real high on Hunter Washington. Who do you got at 21?
I get that. There's a lot of guys on here that I don't have a lot of faith in, but they're still on the list, like middle of the ways or something. That's kind of the state of Mississippi State right now. Trey Wright is my 21. It appears that he's fighting for –
I don't have
a cornerback spot.
You are two for two of players I don't have listed.
That's another position that we just don't really know.
Yeah.
You know, Bryce Pollock was a guy that we thought was probably going to be, you know, in pen starting at cornerback, but I'm hearing more about Trey Wright this offseason than I am Bryce Pollock. A lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, he's low on this list because I just don't know if he's going to be the starter or not. And if he is the starter, he would probably be around here anyway because he's done nothing. He was a redshirt freshman last year, or a redshirting freshman at Memphis. And now you're asking him to come play in the SEC. If he is indeed Mississippi State's starter at cornerback or whatever, which he appears to be one of the fastest guys on the team, according to their numbers, possibly a starter there, then I think he would still be kind of low on this list. I think the ability's there, and obviously Matt Barnes liked what he saw when he was with him last year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just needed a year to transition into college football, but I just don't have a lot of faith in him if he's a starter.
Okay. 2 for 2. I don't have him. I don't have him on my list.
We might have a few differences.
Who do you have at 20?
I got Isaac Smith at 20.
All right. Now we're getting somewhere.
Isaac Smith looks like he's a guy that is in the front of the line for his position at safety. And I love the makeup. Think he's a great leader. It's just built into it. He kind of exudes that. I think that he has the ability. I think he can go out there and make plays for you, obviously being a four-star kid that was recruited by LSU and Ole Miss and a lot of teams like that. But last year, there were some tough moments for him out there on the field. That was his welcome to the SEC moment. And this is a big step. Coming back, and you're now starting probably at safety.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to take a huge step this season.
Okay.
And they need him. They need him badly. But he's probably, of the safeties, the one that I have the biggest questions about jumping into that mode.
20 is where I have Kelly Jones. I love the physical makeup. I think the talent is there. Obviously, the speed is there. He was one of the guys that was part of that Fast as Hail gang that was pictures were tweeted out a few weeks ago. But he's never done it. He has no playing experience whatsoever at this level. So I got to put him at 20. I have my monster questions. And then at 19 is where I have Isaac Smith.
We were close. Right there. I have Kelly Jones as my 20.
As 19?
Yeah, 19.
19. Okay. So
I got lost.
Yeah. That's not.
No.
So yeah, Isaac Smith is where that's where I have him. So you've got Kelly Jones at 19. I have Isaac Smith there. Who do you have at 18?
I got Brylon Lanier at 18.
Another one I don't have in the starting lineup.
I'd put him in there if I were you.
You think? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm interested.
I like him a lot.
Safety group must be off then.
This is a guy, I think it is. And I could be wrong too, but that just talking to players, and again, I'm taking context clues in these interviews we're having. I think that should be a telltale sign. A lot of the guys that we're talking to, Kevon Lee, Isaac Smith, Kelly Jones. Mm-hmm. We hadn't talked to Kelly Jones, I don't think, or maybe we have. Brylon Lanier, we talked to him the other day. The people we're talking to are some of the only people at their position that are talking to the media right now. So I'm going with Brylon Lanier there. I think he can play a role for you a lot like Jonathan Abram did. They haven't had a head-hunting safety quite like that in a while.
Okay.
I think he's a guy that can do it. He can cover. He can play the run. I like him a lot. Maybe I should have him much higher. But my questions surround whether or not he's going to be able to make that jump to from junior college. And I know he's played at Alabama and he played at Indiana, so he has more experience than a lot of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see what it looks like game one at Mississippi State. But I'm hearing really good things about him. He's a guy that I think could be a starter game one.
All right. 18 is where I have Brandon Jennings. Now, I've heard a lot of good stuff about Brandon Jennings, but again, in the SEC, he's done nothing. He's done nothing, and that's a theme here. Hunter of the guys I've listed, Hunter Washington's really the only guy who's played a ton.
Yeah,
and so with Jennings, I like what I'm hearing about him. I think he's going to be that starting one of those starting linebacker positions, but I don't know enough about him to put him any higher than this. So I've got him at 18, and at 17, I guess this is where this might be the guy where you've got Lanier. I have Corey Ellington.
Yeah.
I feel like that's maybe your most experienced guy.
It is, especially but, you in know, the secondary. He's been in for a fight since the spring.
He has been, and I don't know. Like I said, this was one of the issues I had with this exercise this year is that I've never been less confident in putting together the starting 11. I could be completely wrong about Ellington, Smith, Bingley Jones. I could be wrong about Washington.
I
just don't know.
How are we supposed to know other than what we hear? Yeah. We haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
So
that's where I've got. So I've got Jennings at 18 and Ellington at 17. Who do you have at 17?
I'm going to shock you with this one.
Oh.
Travion Williams.
Ooh, okay. I mean, you're not too far off from me.
I mean, until I see him put together a full season, be out there, how can we feel confident about him?
Cody Kennedy said it, man. Potential is a bad word.
Yep. There's no question that this guy has all the potential in the world to be another great on the defensive line for Mississippi State. Shaw Williams said today he is one of the two strongest people he thinks on the team. And I don't know if that's where he ranked them, but he just listed Ethan Miner and Travion Williams as the strongest people or in that group. Either way, he stands out to everybody in workouts, in the weight room, when he's out there on the practice field. He is very difficult to block. And I think when he's on the field for Mississippi State, I think he's going to do that. He did it this year. I think he made an impact when he was in the game last year when he was on the field. But is he going to be on the field is the question. He's got to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's why I have him here. He would be – if I knew he'd be healthy, he'd be top five for me.
All right.
There's no doubt. But since he has been unhealthy so far during his career, and I don't know, you know, what's going to happen with him this year, that's where he is for me. And my next guy on the list
16, who do you have?
Is Jennings.
Okay.
And I'm higher on Jennings.
He does have some Power 5 experience, at least.
He does. He was a freshman All-American or whatever at Maryland. And everybody's talking about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
What he's doing at practice, they're talking about how impressive he's been. I was super impressed with his interview the other day. Really confident dude. You know, he was asked what running back stood out to him, and he said, I don't really have a problem with any of them. I can tackle all of them, so it doesn't matter. So I like that. I mean, if you can back it up, good. Has the physical tools. He's going to be hungry. It's a lot like Brylon Lanier.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those guys have had the taste of success on this level and at least playing time, and they lost it. And Brylon talked about that when we talked to him a couple weeks ago. He spoke about how, you know, he felt like he lost everything when he had to leave the Power Five and he goes to junior college.
Mm-hmm.
Junior college has a way of humbling you. And I think that this is a good thing for Brandon Jennings. I think he got a chance to step away. He went to Raymond and just had football in his life. And I think that's going to be good for him. Like I said, all the physical tools to do it. I expect him to have a big year, but still, until he does it in the SEC, he's going to be middle of the pack to down towards the bottom.
Okay. 16 is where I have Bryce Pollock. I just feel like, I mean, that's your most experienced corner. I think he's going to find his way into the starting lineup. If he doesn't, I wouldn't say I'd be surprised because I think things are just so fluid back there in the back end, but I just feel like that's the guy that, you know, I thought they were going to try to build around a little bit. Because I think he's definitely talented. He can certainly play. So we'll see if I'm right about that. 15, here's my first offensive guy.
Yeah, the defense is definitely
That's
heavy.
Where the questions are, yeah.
Yep.
That's where I have Leon Bell.
Okay.
Oh. What does that look?
I don't have Leon Bell on my list.
Okay. See, I'm telling you, we've never had this much fluidity. Never mind the rankings, the depth chart. Portion of it.
Yep.
I think Leon Bell is your starting right tackle. I think he's going to be if he's healthy. But again, if he's healthy is a big concern. So I don't have a ton of confidence in him by any stretch of the imagination. Who you got at 15?
I've got KJ, Kedrick Bingley Jones.
KBJ?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the guys that's been mentioned by every guy on the offensive line or defensive line whenever they're talking about the defensive line is Kedrick Bingley Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the production wasn't there. I know he didn't do much of anything at North Carolina. Totally get that. But sometimes a move like this, you know, a change of pace, a change of scenery brings out the best in people. And I just have a feeling that he's going to be a good piece for Mississippi State this year. He's been one of the guys that, like I said, has just been consistently spoken about as a leader up front, as somebody that's been, you know, tough to deal with for offensive linemen. So while he's about middle of the pack, I still feel better about him than a lot of the other defensive players.
All right. Who do you have at 14?
Trent Hudson.
Okay.
An outside receiver, just don't hear a lot about him.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's going to be your X or whatever they call that position.
Mm-hmm. One of the outside Levy. Guys. Yeah.
I feel like by default he's probably going to be that. I'm not ready to put Stonka Burnside there as a starter. As a true freshman, but I think by the end of the year it wouldn't shock me if he was starting. Trent Hudson right now is there for me. He's the lowest rated offensive player for me, just because of the unknown, not hearing much. That's kind of where I'm leaning right now.
14 is where I put Trevion Williams. Like I said, not too much difference between us on that one. I really am banking on potential with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know it's there, but I don't know. Staying healthy could be a huge issue for him, but 14 is where I've got him. 13 is where I have Hudson. I agree with you. I think he would definitely be one of the starting three receivers, but he is definitely the guy that I have the most questions about in that group. So from that standpoint, yeah, that's where I've got him as at 13. Who do you have at 13?
This one might surprise you, too. I got McCollum Pounders there.
Big gap for us.
Well, here's the thing on McCollum. He might be, you know, top two, top three offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
But that position is a difficult position to play in this league.
It is.
Think about the guys that are going to be coming off the edge in this league. Think about the great players in the NFL that have played in the SEC that have attacked left tackles, right tackles, mm-hmm. those guys. Pounders was excellent at Memphis. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a question mark about how he's going to be in the SEC, and it's just because I haven't seen it.
Okay.
So the fact that that position is so important and he is new to it in the SEC, it's a question for me. I could see him ending up a top three, you know, mm-hmm. player that is, you know, productive for Mississippi State and the level of importance is high. But right now, just because we haven't seen him in the SEC, how does he handle some of the best and pass rushers in America?
Yeah.
So it's a big position. It's a big jump.
All right. I'm interested to hear what you think where I've got him then. Who do you have at 12?
I have Hunter Washington at 12.
Wow. Okay.
Again, you're dealing with a guy that everybody's been raving about, and his coaches have been really impressed with him. I just think that he was put in bad positions on that defense last year. It was so...
He was. There's no question about that.
That they love to put safeties on great wide receivers, and I did not understand that. You think back to, like, they were putting Sean Preston on those guys at Georgia that were just torching him one-on-one. It's like...
I still remember Landon Guidry covering Devontae Smith one-on-one.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I remember it.
That was one thing, and I thought the defense was pretty darn good, Zach Arnett and Matt Brock put together, but I never understood.
Not Landon Guidry. What was that guy's name? He was the walk-on. No, it wasn't Landon Guidry, though. Yeah, that was in the Ole Miss game. What was that guy's name? He was a walk-on.
London Kraft.
London Kraft, yeah.
Had the beautiful hair.
Yes.
I remember when he took that helmet off, and I was like, who is that?
Yeah.
I didn't know who it was. He had the soul glow hair.
Yeah.
Hunter Washington, to me, I think is poised for a good season. He's going to be covering guys, but I just don't know if it's going to be, you know, putting him on the ace receivers every week. I think he's capable of covering. I just wouldn't put him out there on the island with Malik Nabers. You know, guys that are top five picks. I don't know if I would do that. But I think highly of Hunter Washington this year. I think he's going to have a good season.
All right. At 12, that's where I have Albert Rees. I've got him coming in at 12. Robbie's just giving me the look. Our rankings could not be more different, apparently. I mean, just doesn't have a ton of experience. I like the guy. I think he's got a lot of potential. But, again, there's that word again, right? Potential. So that's where I've got him. 11 is where I'm going to put John Lewis. I've got John Lewis at 11th. I mean, there's only a couple more guys defensively ahead of him. So, I mean, he's way up the idea of the guys I have faith in on the defense. He's way up there. But he just hasn't done it. I mean, he has, what, 4 career tackles? And, I mean, State's putting him out like he's going to be this, you know, the replacement for Bukie Watson. That's ask on. Bukie Watson, I think, was number 1 on this list for me last year. Pretty sure.
Yeah. It might have been like Jet, too. And
I think it was 1, 2.
I think you and I, like.
We had Bukie, Jet, and Will.
Yeah.
So this is where I'm going to put Rees at 12. Who do you have at 12?
I've got Jacoby
Jackson. I'm sorry, not at 12, at 11.
I got Jacoby Jackson.
Okay. Now we're a little more in line.
Yeah, I got Jacoby Jackson there. Guard position is is much more manageable for these guys than center and tackle. But I still just I haven't heard much about Jacoby Jackson. So that I mean I don't know if it's just he's just been business as usual and doing his thing or what. But they you know most of the talk is about you know Albert Reese and guys like that and Ethan Miner. So he's just there for me just because of the unknown.
Okay.
But I mean he has played in the Power Five, so it's a little bit different.
Yes. So here we are at you got at 11. Who do you have 10?
At 10, I got Marlon Martinez.
I don't even have him on the list.
Yeah, no, you had
Le'Veon Bell.
That's where we. Yeah, you have Le'Veon Bell starting.
Man,
I've got Marlon Martinez at right guard.
Okay.
And from what I've been told, that's where they've been working. Is he's been at right guard. Albert Reese has been at tackle, right tackle. So that my expectations are McCollum Pounders left to right, McCollum Pounders, Jacoby Jackson. Or Marlon Martinez, whatever. Ethan Miner, Martinez, Jackson, and then Albert Reese. And we got some context clues the other day, too, when I asked Marlon what's it like playing with Ethan Miner, and he talked about he likes being next to him and, you know, kind of letting him call the plays and stuff like that because he's worked at center, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds to me like Marlon's been working first team, so that's why I have him on there.
Okay. At 10's where I have Jacoby Jackson. I've got him there. I think he's going to be a really good player for Mississippi State. I think I have him starting at left guard.
That's where I have him, too.
Yeah. So that's where we're on the same page. At 9's where I have Stone Blanton. And I just feel like SEC experience, good athlete. He's done it in this conference. I feel like I should have some confidence in him. So I gave him number 9 spot.
That's where I got him.
You got him too. All right, so same. All right.
That if it would be different if he was transferring in from somewhere else, but the fact that he's played in the SEC,
he's coming from Louisiana Tech, it'd be totally different.
It's tough to not expect him to have some success here when he's had some success in the SEC already.
All right, who do you have 8?
Where am I?
You're at 8.
Yeah, I didn't number him.
Okay.
Kevin Coleman.
That's tough. You didn't number him? Gosh.
No, I didn't.
All right, Kevin Coleman, you have an 8, okay?
Yes. You know, a guy that I'm expecting big things out of. And one of the reasons I don't have him higher is because I just have more faith in some of these other guys. Another reason is it's the SEC. You know, there's going to be speed everywhere. He's got good speed. There's going to be speed everywhere. So, you know, how does he manipulate the defenses? We've seen, you know, in the spring game, got a little loose with the football. He needs to take care of the football. I don't know if that's a constant problem or anything, but I'm just saying, you know, he's got a touchdown and somebody knocks the ball out. Just that all of that, you want to see the consistency play out for him. I don't have a lot of concerns about him, but that's just why he is where he is, not higher.
At 8th is where I have Devon Booth.
Okay.
I think that's your most explosive playmaker at running back, and I think he should get that opportunity. You know, now if he's not,
it's crazy to me. I just don't hear him.
You really don't know who RB1 is.
You don't hear anything about him.
No, and maybe I don't know if that's
maybe it's a secret weapon.
Maybe it's by design. I don't know.
I mean, they're not taking pictures of him. We're not seeing.
Well, they sent one out. The one they sent out on Sunday was that picture of Devon Booth.
I thought that was Johnny Daniels.
No, it said Booth breaks into the clear or something like that, didn't it?
Oh, okay. Maybe it was.
So we'll see.
Maybe I got mixed up.
We'll see. So that's where I have it 8th. At 7th is where I have Blake Shapen.
Oh. Okay.
I got to put the same caveat I've put on like 5 guys, if he can stay healthy. I mean, I think the talent is there, and I know the offense is designed to make him have big stats. But I'll be honest, this is the point, though. The remaining guys on this list I have great confidence in. So putting him 7th, I'm not telling you that I don't have a ton of confidence in Blake Shapen. I'm telling you the guys above him I feel really good about.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, too.
Who do you have at 7?
John Lewis.
Okay.
That's where I got him. Has just seemingly taken a big step. I think a lot of the issues with him the last couple years have not been his issues. It's been Mississippi State subbing out personnel issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's been ready to make an impact. I think he's been ready to do some good things. They just got stuck with Buki and Jet, and I think they just had a comfortability with those guys being in there calling the defense and making plays, and they just kind of let these other guys watch. And I think finally you have an opportunity now for John Lewis to break out. There were a couple of plays that he had last year that just really popped.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that potential. He's a really explosive guy at that position that can hit and he can cover. I think this is going to be a breakthrough season for him. I'm not calling 100 tackles or anything like that, but I could see him disrupting a lot of things for other offenses.
All right. So that's who you've got at 7. Who do you have at 6?
I got Albert Reese at 6.
Ooh, okay.
Because he is the most experienced guy returning on the offensive line. But, I've always been high on Albert. You have too, I think. I know you're. I know you don't have him high on this list, but you and I have both talked about how he has that look of an NFL guy, and he's had that since we first saw him when he was a true freshman. It's always been about, opportunity and him seizing it. Last year, started a couple of games, played a good bit. I just feel like he's going to have a good year. He's very versatile. He's a hardworking dude. He can play right guard or right tackle. He's played multiple positions. He played, I think, everything but center at this point.
Yeah.
And so I think he's going to end up at right tackle, and if things aren't working out with other positions, they'll move him around. Leon Bell might get in there too, but I just have high confidence in Albert Reese having a good year.
Okay. At 6 is where I have Kevin Coleman. Really like him. Really liked what I saw from him in the spring game. Played Power 5 football before. Highly recruited guy. Really like where I've got. I like him this year. I think he. I don't think he's State's leading receiver, but I think he'll be a very quality SEC wide receiver for Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
5th is where I have DeMonte Russell, and where this is the most experienced guy on the team. All right, I know that he can play SEC football. I know that he has done it, and I know that he will be. This is like really the first guy that I can write his name into the starting lineup, and I know what I'm going to get, and I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
That's the first guy for me is DeMonte. So who do you have at 5th?
He's 5th, too.
5th for you. Okay.
So. Yep.
All right.
We saw enough from him last year. I thought he was, at times just kind of really consistent for State last year. DeMonte's always just been battling things like injuries and stuff. He had the car wreck his freshman year, and I think he had to deal with that. He had some heart issues, I believe. He seems healthy, seems locked in. He's been one of the guys that they've constantly put out, as a leader on the team. Did a lot of stuff with the Bulldog Initiative this summer, going to read to kids, the library, and stuff like that. I just have a lot of confidence in him to have a big year. This is it for him, too, and he knows he has to have a big season.
All right. Who do you got 4th?
My number 4 is Ethan Miner.
Okay.
He's starting a family.
Yeah.
He is
a family.
He's very mature. He's just focused on ball this year. And he did some really good things at North Texas, obviously. So I have the utmost confidence in him. You don't hear about any problems at the center position. You don't hear about any battles there. It's just kind of him.
Yeah.
That's just that it's been that way since the spring. It's just been Ethan Miner's the center.
Yeah.
So, I've heard nothing but good things about him from the very beginning, and I think he's going to have a good season as well.
4 is where I have Sadu Traore. I love this guy. This is my, Six Pack does your boy every year.
Mm-hmm.
Paul did the thread the other day on 3 about you've been warned, who you picking. Sadu Traore is my guy. Love what he did at Arkansas State, and I know that this offense, when it has a tight end that can do it, it makes it a big piece of what they want to do. I think Sadu Traore is going to have a big, big year for Mississippi State. So I've got him 4th. I have Pounders 3rd because I believe in the guy. I think that for some reason, maybe I'm just kind of like jaded by the way that Ole Miss has gotten some of these smaller school guys. And I'm not trying to say like they're a Division II school or anything, but they've made them plug them in and made them work. I think Pounders is ready to plug in. This was a guy that, Mike Leach wanted this guy a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I know he's an SEC talent. I'm not worried about him. I think they're going to plug him in at left tackle, and that he's going to protect Blake Shapen all year long. So I've got Pounders there at 3rd. Who do you have 3rd?
My number 3 is Sadu.
Okay.
I'm like you. I just expect him to have a great year.
Yeah.
He's been sitting for a year. You know that has fueled him all offseason. He had to watch his team last year. They went through their struggles.
Mm-hmm.
I think this offense is perfect for him. That so many people have talked about the fact that he just looks like a wide receiver out there. But he has the body of a tight end, too. He can do what tight ends do while also being just as elusive, fast, consistent with his hands as a wide receiver. You know, this guy is just scratching the surface because he came to the States from England. He was playing some version of football over there. It wasn't 11-man football. He comes over here in one season, earns a scholarship in FBS. And a year after that, Deion Sanders wants him on his team. So I have very, very high expectations for Sadu. And he's one of the few guys on this roster that I can say I feel 100% confident that guy's going to break out.
Okay.
I just, like I said yesterday, spoiler, he's my candidate to be All-SEC at the end of the year. I think he's going to have a huge year, and I think Jeff Loeb is going to know exactly how to use him. It's been a while since State has had a tight end like this.
I agree.
It's been a long time.
All right. Who do you have second?
Kelly Akari.
Okay.
Kelly Akari, been dealing with a little bit of
that's not what it, I say the ooh about either. So that means you've got shape in one.
Yes.
Okay.
Kelly Akari, do you want me to just go ahead and talk about both of them?
Go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Kelly Akari is, to me, like I looked at him in recruiting on film, his production at UTEP, and I just said I could see him just being a star in this offense. They know how to use him. He's going to be able to separate. Great hands. We saw that in the spring game. I was super impressed with him in the spring game. Been a little banged up in fall camp, but nothing serious from what I'm told. And he should be ready to go, so he's my number two. And then Chapin, number one, my reasoning for that is I believe he's going to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been here for the spring and the fall, and, you know, something can happen tomorrow, God forbid. But I think he's going to be healthy. I don't see any long-term issues or anything like that, and he's just been somebody from day one. Every coach has talked about how he's attacked practices, workouts, leadership. He came in and immediately went to work, has done everything they've asked him to do. He has been a model teammate, and I think this offense is going to make a lot of people look foolish about him. Because had he been healthy at Baylor, anybody that watched him play will tell you he was going to do some big things there. Just couldn't stay healthy. So I think he's going to be able to handle this.
So I've got Ethan Miner second. That's my guy there. I have no worries about him whatsoever. I mean, just as solid as a rock there in the middle of that offensive line. I think he's going to be really, really good for State. And then at two is where I've got Kelly Akari. I'm sorry, at one is where I have Kelly Akari. I have convinced myself. I have talked myself into it. That if Trey Harris can come from Louisiana Tech and be as dominant as he was for Ole Miss, that Kelly Akari, who had better numbers, can go to Mississippi State and do the exact same thing. I'm penciling him in for 70 catches and close to 1,000 yards. And if he doesn't deliver that, State's going to be in trouble. But I believe in the guy. Loved what I saw from him in the spring game. Thought he looked fantastic. I think Akari is going to have a monster year for Mississippi State. There it is.
Yes.
All 22 rankings. Very, very good. Let's move into the rest of the show, brought to you by our friends.
That wasn't a complete cluster.
No, we did good. We got through it. We did it.
Yep.
Brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. This Saturday, the Mississippi Beef Council will be taking care of Mississippi State, beefing up the Bulldogs. The dogs will get to enjoy some fantastic steaks that you don't have to be a Mississippi State football player to enjoy a fantastic steak. You can enjoy one each and every night of the week if you want. All you got to do is head to the grocery store or head to one of our great steakhouses around the state of Mississippi. They're all right there for you. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So if you're grilling out this weekend, make it beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. You are looking for smoked Southern soul food. You are looking for smoked wings, for barbecue tacos, for prime rib sandwich. You're looking for it all. It's right there at Two Brothers. Or if you want a little of the finer things in life, the fancy sandwich. Well, it is available to you at the Older Brother, right next door to Two Brothers Smoked Meats, right there in the heart of the Cotton District. Such a great place to eat. Either one of those choices are fantastic. I'm just telling you right now, I don't want to hear about it from you. I don't want to be blamed. When you try to go to the older brother this football season, you're like, man, they were packed. Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're going to be. You just go ahead and brace yourself for that. It's worth the wait to get into the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. They do it every week. They do it every day. They do it all the time. You could be next. If you need technology for your business, give them a call. And then if you need any kind of service on a product they've sold you, it's just a phone call away. Not a 1-800 number. Not a, we'll be out there in a week to 10 days. Nope. We'll take care of it. Be out there tomorrow. Be out there today. A lot of the same time. So it's a big difference. It's the difference you get with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the games this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. You need to check out their incredible selection of MSU gear. Nobody's got a better selection of Mississippi State gear than does Maroon & Co. Stuff you cannot get anywhere else. They've got the logos that you want. Everything maroon and white. It's right there in one location, right off of campus. It's at Maroon & Co. If you haven't been, you're missing out. Use our promo code THUNDER15, 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis-Wade Stadium this fall, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. All right, earlier today, talking a little SEC football with our good friend Cole Kublik, who was on the verge of working every day for the rest of the year because he doesn't know how to take days off. Me, when I have a day off, Robbie, I can tell the difference. But Cole takes enjoyment in working as much as he possibly can, and that's why nobody knows more college football, in my opinion, than this guy. Let's talk now to Cole Kublik from the SEC Network, from Mac and Cube Radio Show. It's too many things to list. Here's Cole Kublik. Let's talk some college football. We are just days away from the start of this season. I can't wait. I know Cole Kublik can't wait either, because that means he gets to work literally every day of the rest of the year. Is that accurate? How many days off do you foresee for yourself between now and New Year's Day? Two? Three?
None. Really. I mean, even days off, I'll be doing something. I'm taking Friday and Monday off of radio, so I'm going to try to get a little bit of downtime this weekend, and then it's pretty much on from there. Just I'll say this. I don't expect to have an actual day off, so yeah. I'll put it that way.
I got you. Well, yeah, if anybody's up for the challenge, I know that it's you. I'm going to put you on – this is a big question. We're going to start off big here. I don't want to know who the best player in the SEC is. I don't want to know who the most valuable player in the SEC is. Who is the most talented athlete in the SEC this year?
Ooh, most talented athlete. I think James Pierce, Tennessee, probably has to be up there. Think probably Luther Burden. When you think about just versatility, ability, I mean, you get the ball in his hands, he can make you miss, he can run past you, crazy good hands. When I think most talented athlete, I think about, all right, if I stuck you at four or five different positions, you'd probably be okay. Like Luther Burden could probably play safety. He might be able to get away at corner. If we needed you at running back, he'd probably be okay. Like James Pierce could probably play tight end. He could probably play off the ball if he had to. Like that's what I think about most talented athletes. And I think most of those guys would qualify.
That's a good list. I think you can win a lot of football games with some of those guys for sure. There's this group of I've sort of said it as there's playoff contenders and there's national title contenders in the SEC this year. I think there's six teams in both of those in those groups combined, right? Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Missouri, Tennessee. That's where I would stop. If you want to add LSU, you can. I wouldn't. Somebody in that group's not going to make it. I mean, maybe two teams aren't going to make it. Who are those two teams?
I like how you separated those, because I haven't done it that way just yet. But I like that, because you're right about there's going to be teams that get into the playoff, I think probably from every conference, that may not be able to win a national championship. I think Georgia's in. I'm going to say that. I think Georgia's going to have some leeway with their schedule because of how difficult it is. I still think we're not talking about it as being as difficult as it really is. If you put Georgia's schedule in front of Mississippi State, Auburn, Arkansas, we're talking about the way we're talking about Florida's schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's Georgia, we're not having that conversation. Texas is already getting a little bit banged up, but they have high-end talent. You know, they're a team that absolutely cannot just get there, but can probably go win it. And Alabama can win it. They've got the talent, the coaching, the experience to go win it. So they're going to be there. And this is what happened when these polls started coming out, Brian. And I didn't really have this awakening until the coaches poll came out. And I was like, hold on a second. We got a couple SEC teams here between 9 and 12, but there's no Big 12 team and there's no Group of Five team, which means there's going to be teams ranked in the top 10, top 12 that are not going to the playoff. And there are going to be some people that don't like that very much.
Mm-hmm.
So just another thing we're going to have to kind of wrap our brains around that's going to be very different that we haven't had to really navigate before. But I will say that – oh, man. I think Georgia's in. I think Ole Miss gets in. I think either Texas or Alabama get in. I'll say that.
Mm.
And then, I mean, I think Missouri's in. Mm. So, just I love the schedule. I love the way it plays out. Like, now, I do think that we have this mindset right now that 10-2 is just going to get everybody in. And I actually don't think that's applicable to teams like Ole Miss, Missouri, Penn State. Like, you go look at some of those schedules and everybody just says, oh, 10-2 is in. It's like, all right, well, if you're like look at Notre Dame's schedule, they go 10-2. Now start giving me their best wins.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to have a lot of good wins if they go 10-2. So I don't know if that answers your question or not.
I liked it. Who's the team in the SEC that we're underestimating this season? Who's the team that's going to be a fly in the ointment?
Well, you have to start with Oklahoma because they play almost all of those teams that we talked about.
Yeah.
That potentially could not only get in, but potentially go win a national championship. So, I mean, they have the potential to impact all of it more than anybody else. So you start with them. But I think, and this is probably because the expectations are just so low, I do think that Florida is getting almost no respect and I think Florida could be a lot better than people think, but those people are thinking they're going to win 3 or 4 games. I know the schedule, but it's still Florida, and they still have talent. And if you put Murch's numbers on any other quarterback in the league coming back, they're talking about him winning 10 games. So I think Auburn has spoiler potential. But I don't think that they're going to be able to consistently go get, you know, enough wins to get to like 10. So probably, depending on how you view Oklahoma, they could fall in that category. Florida and Auburn would be the other two.
This today on the podcast, what we're talking about, we do a thing where we rank state starters by our confidence in them. We call it our all 22 rankings, and we go 1 through 22. You did state spring game earlier this year. When I look at State's first 22, I got a lot of questions in there, and then we start talking about depth. Does this Mississippi State team have enough depth to compete in the SEC this year?
Probably not, no, but I do think they have enough frontline talent to be really dangerous. You have to start at quarterback, and I think that would be – I mean, you tell me how you ranked them. I don't know, but I would imagine if you were doing confidence rankings on – starter versus backup, that would probably be one of your bigger differentials.
You might
have Blake Chapin as like an 8, 8.5 confidence, and your backup is like a 4, 5, something like that. Whereas most everybody else is going to be like a 6 and an 8 or a 7 and a 9, whatever that would be. So it's already going to be a lighter front seven to begin with. And I think it's only going to be more so if you were to lose a guy or two. So that doesn't help you very much. It's just when you have that kind of roster turnover and you have to go get different type bodies to give you the things that you need to do what they want to do, that's what you're going to run into. And part of it is just today's college football. I mean, we heard Kirby complain about this the other day that, you know, this is the first year that, you know, he's had more turnover every year he's been at Georgia. But that's not because guys don't like it. It's just that's today's college football. So that's the good news for State is that's an everybody problem. It's just what's the extent of that problem for your roster?
We talked earlier this week on the show about the perception, I guess is the right word. It seems like every year in the SEC, and it has really been the case this year, that Arkansas gets a benefit of the doubt that Mississippi State doesn't. State has dominated that series over the last decade. They finished ahead of Arkansas basically every year, and yet there was a power rankings this week that had Arkansas 50 spots ahead nationally of Mississippi State, and Mississippi State was picked almost unanimously as the second worst team in the conference, and Arkansas, you know, anywhere from 11th through 14th. What is it about Arkansas, a team that State has, again, dominated over the last decade, that gets them the benefit of the doubt that Mississippi State just can't seem to get?
I don't know if I can give you a real answer for that, because the first thing that popped into my mind is, well, you know, they've had their runs with Petrino before where they got to number three or number one or whatever it is, but then it's like, well, State had those runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been to an SEC championship game. You know, they've been highly ranked in the college football playoff polls under Dan Mullen. So why would they not benefit from that also? And it's an interesting thought and question, and I don't really know what it is. I think maybe specifically this year is you would look at a lack of an overhaul on how you were going to manage things offensively. But, I mean, Arkansas, even though it's not totally different, it's going to be different. I mean, hell, Sam Pittman's telling us they're going to run I formation at SEC Media Days, which I love, and I'm excited to see it.
Did you get a little excited when you heard I formation?
I did.
You had to have.
Yeah, I did. But I don't know. I mean, I could sit there and tell you we're going to go run triple option or we're going to go run air raid. You still have to have the personnel to do it, and they have to be able to execute it, and I don't know what that part's going to look like. I'm more confident in State's quarterback situation, so that's usually something that the surface layer media or the national media, when they're talking about teams that they don't know as much about, how they sort of get giddy or happy or excited over is when, oh, we have so-and-so quarterback. Like, I think Taylen Green's got a chance to be okay. Bobby usually does a great job with his quarterbacks. But I'm more confident in Blake Shapen and what he's going to be able to do. So I don't know. I don't view the lines of scrimmage as being that different between those two teams. I just think that that's one that maybe it's the Petrino effect. Maybe it's just, overall roster, more names they recognize on that Arkansas roster. I couldn't give you a very fair answer for that one, Brian, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me either.
It's that Walmart money, Cole. They've been bought off. We all know what's going on up there. Last question. I've made the comparison all offseason between State this year and Ole Miss the first year Kiffin and Lebby were there together. So in 2019, the last year of Matt Luke, Ole Miss averaged 26 points per game. That was 82nd nationally in scoring offense. The next year, they jumped up to 39 points per game, was 14th nationally. And, of course, that was against an all-Power 5 or all-SEC schedule except for the bowl game. I don't think that's a fair jump. I don't think State's going up 13 points per game, but they only averaged 21, almost 22 points per game last season. What's a realistic number to say that State can score this per game?
I think close to 30.
Okay.
I mean, you tell me who's the dominant defense going to be in the league this year?
I mean, I think the most talented ones State will play with Georgia and Texas.
Yeah. And Texas secondary wasn't very good last year. Yeah. And by the way, they lost their two best players on defense who both happened to play in the middle of that defense on the line of scrimmage, which allows you to do a lot of other stuff to make life easy on your corners, your safeties, your linebackers, your edge defenders, everybody essentially. Now they go get an edge rusher from UTSA. It's going to make them a little bit different. They got a freshman edge defender that might help. Maybe the secondary a year later is better. But I don't think Texas is going to have an elite defense. I think it might be pretty good, but if they win a national title, it's going to be because of that offense.
Yeah.
I think Georgia's defense can be really good, but it's not going to be 3 years ago good. I mean, they don't have near as many scary guys as they had in the secondary last year, number one, or on the defensive line that they had 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So I just, it's like we talked about at media days, for the first time that I can remember, I mean, honest to God, Brian, I don't know when the last time I would have told you that I feel like collectively the offensive lines are ahead of the defensive lines in this league. I mean, that sounds like crazy talk, because we're used to all these teams just having badasses on the D-line. State's got two, Auburn's got three, Georgia's got five, Bama's got two, Ole Miss has two, you know, Florida's got three, that it can just wreck your game. There's only a handful of guys like that total in the league this year, it feels like. So, and then you got the portal turnover and different coaches coming in and out, new schemes. I feel like it. You might have a little bit of an easier time scoring some points this year than you did the last couple of years.
We shall see. I'm ready for football. I know that you are too. Cole Kublik, I didn't even list off all the accolades. Mac and Cube, ESPN, SEC Network. Well, are you still doing the show with Roman Harper this year?
We will be back. Season 2, Read and React. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Love Roman. Love working with him. I learned a lot from him.
You just work with Alabama people. That's just your thing. You just and you don't mind stretching the rivalry. Me either, though.
It is weird. No, it's very weird. I think I've done three different individual shows with former Alabama players. It's three former Alabama players. So it's wild to kind of think about. But the good news is, at least the ones that I'm working with now, I'm big fans of. So it's hard to carry McElroy every day, but I found a way to do it. And you know, Roman makes life easy. So.
Also, check out The Cube Show, one of the best college football podcasts out there, especially if you're a person like me who just wants to talk about college football and I could care less about the business side of things. Cole Kublik, he scratches that itch for me when he puts up The Cube Show. Cole, thanks so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
Brian, I appreciate it, man. Always good catching up with you.
All right, thanks to Cole. We appreciate his time. Next week, we talked to Jeff Lebby on Saturday, so we'll have that audio for you on the Monday podcast, plus our thoughts on what State reveals after scrimmage number 2. Plenty of other stuff to do. Next week, our opponent, our SEC preview is the Ole Miss Rebels, so that'll be something we're talking about. We'll have our Arizona State opponent preview as well. Plenty of great stuff happening next week. Looking forward to bringing it to you. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haddad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.